Yeah, the last time we did in Parak Dalet, Nehemiah told the people to get themselves ready for war, that the Samaritans and the other people out there were going to try to do something, that he had gotten information from his spies that were on the other side telling him that they were going to ambush the city, but it never happened. They did the rishtadlus. They had spears in their hands, and they worked day, you know, from morning until night, but nothing ever happened. Maybe that was a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or something else happened over here, right? But it does teach us how to do rishtadlus, even if in the end nothing works out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you, and that it didn't work out, but or that nothing bad happened. So in Parakeh, look what it starts off over here, right? It's Amunushem Gedola Elachehem. The outcry of the people and their wives was very great against their brothers, Hayehudim, the Jews themselves. Meaning, whatever happened over here, this refers to the poor people. Everybody's really upset at the wealthier people out there, the people that were a little bit richer. They were upset about stuff. There were them, those that said, right, with our sons and our daughters, there's so many of us. Right, we have to buy grains that we can eat and we can live. We'll mortgage our fields and our vineyards and our houses, right, so that we can buy grain in the famine. We borrowed money, right, for the kings, you know, the what's called the taxes that we had to pay the kings. And we put down our fields and our vineyards for it, right? So in other words, some people had this claim. Some people didn't have any fields at all, right? Some people were able to put it down as collateral, and other people just borrowed money to be able to make ends meet. They just literally had nothing. And because everybody's working on the walls around Yerushalayim, nobody had the ability to really go to work. So for a couple months, these people were literally, they were working off loans that they had taken from a bunch of people, and that's that. So many of them now were foreclosing on all of their property, which means they were left with nothing, and everybody was going to be poor. About all, kivsarachenu b'salrenu kivneihem banenu. Our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers. Our sons are like their sons. We're forcing our sons and our daughters into slavery. Our daughters are already enslaved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not helping us. All of our stuff is going to belong to others. So Nehemiah said, I got really angry. When I heard their cries, I said, all these words. I decided, I fought the people who were free men, as well as the princes. And I said to them, Masa ish be'achiv, right? There is sort of like a demand, right, being made against his brother. Atam noshim, that's what you're doing over here. Vatenolem ki'il agdola, right? And I brought against a whole congregation against them, a whole bunch of people. But this was very dangerous on Nehemiah's part. Nehemiah is living in a world where he had just shown up not too long ago. Granted, with the rules of the king, but he had just shown up not too long ago. The princes and the scunim and the people that were there were old sympathizers of the other people. How do you think they became rich when the walls of the Beis Hamikdash went down? They were friends of the Samaritans. The Samaritans had married into their families, right? They were friends with the people around them. Now Nehemiah gets up and he tells them, listen guys, you know, you're all at fault here, and I want you to, you know, get rid of these issues that you're having with the loans. What do you think those rich people are going to do? They're just going to get up and say, okay, we're not giving back any money. Like, that's the likelihood of what he's running into. He's running into a big issue. And I said to them, we've ransomed our brothers, Hayehudim, the Jews, and we've sold them to non-Jews. Kidei vanu. Right, as much as we're able. But you sold your brothers and they were sold to us. Right? Who's going to be sold back to us? In other words, like, what's going on here? Right? Are you going to sell your brothers? Right? Are you going to expect them to come back to us? Like, what are you doing over here? They were silent and they didn't have a response. It seems that this was not an issue of paying back the loans, right? But I don't know if there was actual ribis involved. If there was ribis, it doesn't seem like it was halachically incorrect. Because if it was halachically incorrect, then Nehemiah, with the power of Hefker Beis and Hefker, could have easily told everybody, hey guys, the loans are off. You didn't borrow any money because everything's gone. That's what he could have said. The easiest thing for him to do would be able to get up and say that. But he didn't say that. He said, the loans are seems like there's something wrong here. This is a national emergency. The Beis HaMikdash walls were down. We needed all these people to work to build up the Beis HaMikdash walls. Some of you didn't work for it, but they did. They had no money for months because they were doing this instead of their work at home, and therefore they had to borrow money. How in the world could you take away from them and allow them to become poor because they were trying to build up the Beis HaMikdash? It's such a national emergency. If Chas V'Shalom, like Chicago was inundated with storms and water and whatever, and the lake overflowed and everything, and tons of people were like going down. everybody would have to stop what they're doing and work together to try to bring out, you know, whatever's going to happen. You have to do that. Maybe we don't feel the same way because we're not brothers, so to speak. But, like, the concept is there, right? So what's going to be? What are you guys thinking over here by taking away all of this stuff? It says, Vayachrishu. They were silent. They weren't able to find any reason to say anything. But Omar, and I said, Lo tova dovar shartem mosim. What you're doing is not good. Right? Aren't you supposed to be walking in the fear of Hashem? This is the shame. We should be ashamed of all of the enemies around us. Can you imagine what they're saying about us and why they're saying it? There's a massive Chilul Hashem that can happen over here, right? Don't you think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be as merciless with you as you are with these people? Don't you think the people in the other nations are going to talk about you and say, look what these people did and how they did it over here? We got many Achai Unorai, even me, right? My brothers and my servants, right? No Shebehem. We have pledges from them. Kesef, Vidagon, silver and grain. Nazon Asa Masazet. Let's all together. And I guess Nehemiah was involved in this. He also lent money to people. He said, let's forget about everything. Return the money, right, that they gave us, if they gave you a pledge. And if they didn't, forgive the loan. Everybody forgive what they owe. Right? And just take it out for yourselves, and that's that. We have money. We'll deal with it. Right? That's what he said. Hashivu na lahem ki ayom sidoseim karmeim zeseim. Return to them today their fields, their vineyards, their olives, ubateim, their houses. Umaasa kesef, the adogan of the hundreds of silver and the grain, atirush vayitzar, the wine and the oil, shirtam noshim bem that you're lending them, vayomru, nashiv. And they said, we'll return it. Umehem lo nevakesh, we will not ask any of it for from them. Kena says, we'll do, kashir ta olimer, like you're saying, vayekras a kwanim vash biyem, and I called over the kwanim, and I made them swear, lasos kedever azeb, because I didn't necessarily trust them, Nechemiah says. Maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't do it. But he wanted to make sure that it was actually going to happen over here, right? And it's going to be over here. So it's really Hashiva Nalahem. He said, please. He said, please. He said the magic word, right? He said exactly what he's supposed to do. And the interesting thing over here is that Nehemiah himself was involved. This is not somebody who's a disparate person who's just getting, you know, coming around and saying, like, hey guys, give up your money for these people. Nehemiah said, I'm also losing money on this deal. I'm willing to lose money. I don't know if you guys are. I'm willing to lose money. So let's try to make this happen over here. He said, let's all do this together. So that's what they said. Gam chotzni no'arti. Then I emptied out my pockets. Va'omer, and I said, this is how God should empty out the house of any man that doesn't do what they said. Mibeso. If you guys go and collect the loan, or you keep any of the pledges, may God empty you of all of your riches. You should lose everything. And he put out his pockets for that reason. Miagil from all his toil. Bekachia nor v'reik, you should be shaken and empty. V'yemakolkol, amen. People up around just got up and they said, amen. By Halu Hashem, they praised Hashem. And they all did what they were supposed to do. Now the Malbim says a massive chiddush over here. He says that when the people returned the property and decided that they were going to be mochel the loans, they made a bracha. It was a mitzvah to do what they did right over here. So they mamish did a bracha over here. Now, there is a machlo. Why don't we make a bracha before giving tzedakah? Why don't you give a bracha on that way? And the answer is usually the answer given is that you don't know that the poor person is going to use it properly. You don't know if this guy is really roy to take tzedakah. So if I give tzedakah, it's sort of like a suffix. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not good. So you can't make a bracha before because you don't know if you're actually doing a mitzvah. But here, the people knew they were doing a mitzvah. So it's possible they got up and said, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem, Asher Kidishanu Mitzvah Zivanu, Al Mitzvah Tzedakah. It's possible they said it, and they really meant it, because they saw there's no reason why they didn't, and they knew how big of a mitzvah it was in Gemilas Chasadim, etc., and that's that. But this is such a unique example in Jewish history of the leaders of the nation listening to the chief of the nation, listening to Nehemiah and saying, all right, you want us to lose money from it? We'll do it. It's so rare. You don't find that. We find people complaining, the people who are in charge complaining, the people who are very rich saying that they had lost whatever it was. But this right there was enough to praise God publicly. And that's what it means by Hallel with Hashem. They might have made a public declaration of Hallel that these people did this. It was truly an unbelievable thing itself. Now, from here until the end of the parak, it seems that there were crazy rumors that were being said against him. And after all this had just been, right, Nehemiah for the rest of the parak tries to, instead of just being gaivadik, he's trying to dispel those rumors that are being said about him, that he was doing terrible things, right? That he was a a ruthless dictator who had done all these horrible things. Look what it says. Gamio Meshertivo Silios Pacham Baris Yehuda. From the day that I've been chosen to be the Pasha in the land of Yehuda itself, Mishnas Esrim Vajna Shosha Mishnayim Artachshasta Amelech. From the year 20 until the year 32 of Artachshasta the king, Shnas Shanim Shtemeser, 12 years, Aniva Chai Lechem Hapecha Loachalti. For those 12 years, we did not eat the bread of the Pasha. In other words, the special bread and everything else that we were supposed to do. My uninterrupted term, while I was mayor or governor of this city for those 12 years, we never ate the special bread. We never did anything special for ourselves. The earlier Pashas who were there before me, they made it very heavy on the people. And this must be referring to some type of a tax. They took their bread, they took their wine, right? They made them pay for everything. Achar kesef shkalin, arbaim, right? After the 40 silver shekels that they had to give as the regular tax, there was a 40 silver shekel tax that everybody had to pay. Gam na'ram shiltu ala'am. And they put their kids in charge of all the people. Anilo sees the king. But I didn't do that. Mibnei yiras elokim, because I feared God. Because I feared God, there was nothing like that. My children did not go in charge. What's it called? Nepotism, right? I didn't have any nepotism. I didn't take away any of their money over the normal tax. I didn't even collect the regular taxes. Even in the work of the wall itself, right? I was involved with it. And we did not buy any other fields. Why all my servants were gathered there doing the work along with everybody else. It's not like I let my servants off and I let them sit in the palace all day. And the Jews, the officials, 150 men, and the other people that came from us in the nation of Shulchani that sat at my table. Every single day I had 150 people at my table, and I still didn't take money from anybody. I was willing to take everything on my own and to use up my own money over here, right? That's the idea behind it. The amount that was prepared in one day was shor echad, one ox. For 150 people, one ox seems a little bit small. But that's it. It's Son Shesh Bruros. There were six choice sheep. Bitsiparin Nasu. I hope I got the meat over the lamb chops. I don't like lamb chops as much. I don't know about you guys. You a mutton person? You don't seem like a mutton person. Bitsiparin Nasu. And we made birds. There were certain birds over there, right? Uvein Aseres Yom Mevachol Yain Laharbe. During those 10 days, there was wine for everybody around Mimzeh. Lechem Hapecha Lo Bikasha. I never looked. I never searched for the bread of the Pasha. He called off with Alamaz because I knew how hard it was for the people over here, and I didn't want to tax them more than what was absolutely necessary. Zachor li Elohai Latova. Therefore, God, you should remember me for good. Kol Asher Asis Alamaz. Everything I did for the people themselves. I don't know if this means that Nehemiah paid for everything out of his own pocket, or if he had a few rich individuals who supported him in everything he did, but it's a little bit crazy that he did that. Also, I didn't even notice up above, it says, Tzipurim Nasu Li. It was the birds were made for me. Everybody else ate meat and mutton and things like that. I ate birds. I ate chicken. That's what I ate. I didn't eat anything more than that. I ate dove, pigeon, and chicken. I didn't want to indulge myself with all the other things that everybody else is eating. All right, that's the end of Parakeh over here, right? There were no lavish banquets or anything like that. I suffered along with everybody else, said Nehemiah. So I'm not a ruthless dictator. I don't have those rumors about me. That's the idea of Ayi. Kesher Nishmal Sanbalat, Bitovia, Ulegeshma Arvi, Uliyeser Oivenu Kivinisi Asachoma. When it was told over to Sanbalat and Tovia and to Geshem the Arab, right? And by all the other enemies that I had built up the wall of Lonasar Balparitz and that there were no longer any breaches inside of Gamada Isahi. At that time, I had not yet put up the doors and the gates and stuff. And remember, Sanballat treated the whole thing as a joke. He's like, there's no way, they're never going to be able to do it, but we did it. He said, Vayishak Sanballat v'geshem elai, they sent me a message saying, Lemor, saying the following, let's go and meet together in the villages, in the kfirim, right by Bikas at Ono. They wanted to do me harm. So he knew, Nehemiah knew from either his spies or whatever it was, something bad was going to happen if they met in that area. Sanballat wanted him on his territory, not in Nehemiah's territory. Let's go on his territory. I sent him messengers saying, listen, I'm doing a lot of great work here. I can't go down to where you want me to go. Why should the work stop? If I weaken my hold and come down to you, then we're going to lose it. I'm not coming. I got stuff to do. I'm a little busy. Okay, so you want to come to me, you can come to me. But I'm staying where I am. They sent me the same message four times over. But I returned them the exact same time. I pushed them off four times. I said, no, I'm not coming. All right, four times. He sent the fifth time as Naro together with his Nar, with his servant. And he had an open letter in his hands. It means it was unsealed so that everyone would be able to read it so they could see what Sanballat was writing over here. Because of what it says over here, by Goyim Nishma, it has been heard among the nations, is what it says over here. Where is it? By Goyim Nishma, right? The Gashmu Omer, and Gashmu, I guess maybe it's Geshem the Arab, is saying it. Atova Yehudim Choshim Limrod Limrod. You and the other Jews, you all have the kavana, your cheshbon, your thought process is to rebel. That's why you're building up the wall. And now you're going to be the king, right? And they're saying similar things to that. What do you say to that, Nehemiah? Do you think that's true? Is that what's going on? You have also appointed prophets to call out to you in Yerushalayim, Lamor, saying, Melech Biyuda, you're a king in Judah. Now, if the king would hear about these things, right? If the king would hear such things, if only the king would hear such things. So I think it's time for us to have a little meeting. That's what Sanballat said. Sanballat gave a veiled threat. And the veiled threat is, if you don't come meet me, right, and my territory, on my terms, then I will tell the king that you're rebelling against him, and we'll see what the king does after that. Do you want that? Do you want us to do that over here? Right, but there are rumors over here. Not only that, but he hired speakers, hired Nevi'im. It's pretty crazy. But either way, but that's it. Ashokal 11, I sent him a message, Lamor, saying, Lonia kadavar me'ela. Everything you said is not true. Shurat ha'omer that you're saying. Kimilivka tobodam. You're making them up, and you're lying straight up. None of the things that you're saying are true at all. There are no such rumors. Ki kulam yorem osanu lemor, because everybody is trying to intimidate us, saying, Yirpa yedemin malacha, let's let them weaken their hands from the work of losaseh, so that it won't be done. And now, right? Are you trying to strengthen my hand? Are you trying to make me feel any stronger than what I was before? We had no things over here. This is all fabricated. You think I honestly wanted to become king? Do you really think that's the idea behind it? He said, you want me to believe that you're looking up for my best interests? That you're like, oh man, listen, Nehemiah, you don't want the king to find out about these things. We should meet and talk about these things in our area. You know, hint, hint. But there's nothing out there. He said, there's no way you're really trying to help me. Instead, you're trying to threaten me. You're threatening me? You're trying to blackmail me? I'll call your bluff. Let's see what happens when you do such a thing. Let's see what ends up happening. You're making it up. So I have come, Nehemiah said, I came to this area, right, in the house of Shmaya ben Deloya, right, ben Mahatavel. Now, I don't know if this is part of his statement, right, to what's it called? To Sanballat? Or this is just him telling the thing over here. He came to the house of Shmaya. Now, Shmaya was known as being a holy man. A holy man. Now, maybe you've heard of people like this before. The prophets who sit in the rooms. And you come in and they tell you crazy things about yourself. And they can tell you all about your personality and what your family does and everything like that. But they're a bunch of Rishayim. Shmaya was one of those Rishayim. V'atzur. Now, he was confined in his house. Now, what that means is not that it was a bad thing, right? But rather, he stayed inside all day long because he didn't want to go outside. He felt it was too tame outside. He stayed inside learning all day long, right? Bayomer, and he said, Niva Eid El Beis Elohim. He said, let's go meet by the Beis Elohim, by the house of the temple of God. El Toch Eichel, in the midst of the Eichel. We have to close the doors of the Eichel, because they're going to kill you. But Lila Bayim Largecha, and it's tonight that they're coming to kill you. So what's he doing over here? Unfortunately, Shmaya was paid off. Paid off by Sanballat, and by Geshem, and by Tovia. And they told him, go tell him to spend the night in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the next night we'll open up the doors and show that he thinks he's God sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Everybody will lose tremendous respect for Nehemiah, and that way we'll be able to kick him out and possibly take him down. Pretty crazy, right? So they got this guy to go tell it to him. Va'omra, and I said, Ha'ish kamoni yivrach? Do you know me? Said Nehemiah. Do you know me? Do I look like a person who's going to run away? If they're trying to kill me, do you think I'm going to run from that? Is that what I am? Mi kamoni asher yavo laheichol v'choy. Who, if it's somebody like me, would be able to go into the heichol and live? I'm not a Kohen, right? I'm not even a Levi. Senechami, I'm from Shevet Yehudah. How in the world could I do that? Even if there were assassins coming to me, how would I be able to go in and b'chai? Lo avo. I'm absolutely not going. I'm not going to go. Right? Now, ba'akira, and I recognize, this is not God that sent him. Right? I felt like, again, Nechami was not a Navi, but he looked at this guy and he's like, you're not a Navi either. You're a faker. You're a faker and something's going on here. He realized something was up. He's trying to tell me some type of a prophecy. And Tovia and Sambalat must have hired him. There's no other choice. How in the world could this have happened? He is convinced that that's what happened over here. Laman Sochor Hu Laman Ira. He was hired so that I would be afraid. And I would do this. I would go into the Kodesh Kedoshim and I would be found a sinner. And they would say that I have a bad name, Lamania Chorfuni, in order for me to be degraded. That's the idea behind it. The holy man was even willing to stay with him on that night inside the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. Now, the holy man was thinking to himself, I'll be saved at the end of the day. They're only going to pull him. They're not going to pull me. But he was not fooled. Nechemiah was absolutely not fooled over here. My God, remember Tovia and Sambalat for the deeds that they did over here, for their deeds right over here. Ela. The Gama Lenoadia Neviah, and so to Noadia Neviah, Uliasra Neviah, and all the other prophets over here, right? Asher Hayu Miyarim Osi, who mamish were afraid of me. They caused me to be afraid. There were other people around there. It wasn't like they were the only people about them, right? But there were other people trying to destabilize and discredit everything Nechemiah was doing. They're trying to be on the side of Shmaya and do everything over here. It could be that Noadia, right? Noadia Hanavia is a reference to Sambalat's hire, this guy Shmaya. It could be that his other name was Noadia Hanavia. Maybe because Noadia, he was able to do meetings with God or he met with God in some way. Maybe that's the idea behind it. But again, Nehemiah did not feel that there was any weight in the statements of these prophets. He didn't feel they were prophets. He didn't think they were actual people. It must have been toward the end, because at this time, that's when Nevuah really stopped. Nevuah was pretty much going to be gone over here. Nonetheless, he knew he had the Ruach HaKodesh on its side. The Beis HaMikdash walls were finished by the 25th of Elul, L'chamisha Mushnayim Yom. That was 52 days. Now, if we count that up, 25th day of Elul, that means 52 days they started building it up. So let's figure that out all together. You have 25 of Elul, right? And then how many in Av? Av is 30 days. Av is 30 days altogether. So 52 minus 25 is altogether 27. So
the third.
No, it would have been the third, right. The third of. Yeah, I think that's the right thing over here. Yeah, that's that. Anyway, we say that Nehemiah right over there, right? I'm trying to see if he says it somewhere. I don't know why it's like that. It doesn't say. Third day of Av. There we go. It's right over there. All right. Megillah Tanya says they began the construction on the 16th of Adar, right? 16th of Adar, not the 3rd of Av. But it could be that they started certain parts on the 16th of Av, and then they continued more parts on the 3rd of Av. Doesn't make that much of a difference over here. Either way, Nechemiah had Ruach HaKodesh, but he did not have Nevuah. Pasuk Tazayin. Vayikash Hashomu Kol Oyveinu. As our all enemies heard, Vayiru Kol HaGoyim Hashiv Voseinu. They were all very afraid. Vayiplu Al Me'od Be'enehem. And they became fallen in their own eyes. Vayedu Kimeis Elokin when asked to Amalach Azos. And they knew that God was involved with all this. They saw that I was purely like, no, you want to fight me? Fight me, but I'm taking it as it is. They were like, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to kill these Jews. Right? That's what they said. And that day, the free people of Yehuda gave many letters. Right? There were many letters, Holchus al Tovia, that went to Tovia, Vashel Tovia Boz Alayim, and there were many that Tovia would send to them. Ki Rabban Biyuda Bali Shvulo. There were many people who were sworn to Tovia. Ki Chazanu Le Shchanya Ben Arach, because he was a son-in-law of Shchanya Ben Arach. Vio Yochan Bano, Lokachas Ben Bavas Meshulam Ben Brechia, and Yonas and his son married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Brechia. So there were relationships between the good people and the bad people, right? Like Tovia over here. There were sympathizers. There were people on his side, right? There were people all over the place, right? So there were people. Nehemiah gave his answer specifically more than anything else, right? He was the friend of all these people, right? So that's going to be right over here. Gam tovosav hayu omrim lefonai, right? They would tell me great things that he would ask for over here. Dvai hayu metziim lo, and my words would go straight out to him, right? Igros, so my words went out to him, so yeah. And all hayimotziim lo. Am I skipping a pasuk over here? Yeah, igro shal tovia liraini. While Tovia sent me a bunch of letters to make me afraid, to give me a little bit of fear, right, when it comes to stuff like that. Now, once again, Tovia is writing letters to Nehemiah. Where's Ezra? Where's Ezra? Why wouldn't Ezra have been involved over here? And the answer is, once again, it seems that Ezra took a back spot. He may have been 120 years old at the time. He might have been really close. He was a malach that everybody loved, but he stood in the background. He did nothing to do with anything normal, right, in the whole world. Now, by he, Kesher Nivzach Homo, when the wall was fully built, right, by Amid Adelassos, and now I had stood up the doors, by he Pukto Ashwanim, Amashorim, and Levim, and I counted all of the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levim, Batzavas Hanani Achi, and I commanded my brother Hanani, Ves Hananiah, Sarabiyah, and Hananiah, the chief of the palace, of the other Yushalayim, and Yushalayim, Kiu, Ki'ish emes, he was like a very good man of truth. That's interesting. Ki'ish emes, because I don't know, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if he's truly a man of emes, but I felt like he was a man of truth who always spoke out the truth over there, right? Chananya, Chananya. V'yoriz Elohim Merabim, and he feared God more than most other people do. It means, Merabim also could be for a very long time. I've known him for a long time, and he's always feared God. But Omar Lahem, and I said to them, Lo Yipaschu Shar Yerushalayim Ad Chom HaShemesh, do not open up, right, the gates of Yerushalayim until the heat of the sun. V'adheim Omdim Yagivu Ad Lasais, and until they are open, right, they should be sealed, right, V'achozu, and locked. V'hameid Mishmarot Yosher Yerushalayim, and put Mishmarot on the outside, and the people living in Yerushalayim, Ish B'mishmaro, each man in their own Mishmar, and each man near his house itself. V'yirachavaz Yadayim, this city was very wide. Oh, Gedolah, and very, very big. But on the opposite, there were not so many people in it. Ein batim binuyim, and the houses were not built up, right? So there were some problems with sitting in the city itself, being in the city of Eitan Ohio Levi. I took the freemen and the officers and the people, lehis yaches, in order to what? I guess. Yeah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in that I should show the lineage of the people who had come up. It's one of the only times that you're going to be able to do this because eventually the population is going to grow. So let's do it. The Emsa Sefer Yachas Ha'olam Barishon, and I found a Sefer of Yichud, a genealogy of all the people that came in first. So this is like a city record. They wanted to put in a city record with everybody who had come inside. Now these names are going to be similar to what we said before.
The census,
but really a census of what was as opposed to what is. They're going to do what is as well. But Emsa Kosovo, and I found the following which is written inside it. Right? Now, there are going to be differences over here between who is who and what ends up happening. Look, in the back of the Sefer over here, I have the differences between each one. Right? Recorded in Ezra chapter 2, recorded in Nehemiah chapter 7. What happens? Now look what happens over here. We're going to run through it before we go back, okay? These are the people of the country that came up from the captives of the Gola. That Nebuchadnezzar had exiled them. Everyone went back to their city. Right? A number of the people of Bigvai, or Misperes, Bigvai, Nechum, Bana. Mispar Anshe Am Yisrael, those are the numbers of the people of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Parosh, the people of Parosh. Alpai Mea Vishivim Nishnayim, right, 1272. Bnei Shvatio, Shosh Mea Vishivim Nishnayim, 372. Bnei Arach, Shesh Mea Zacham Yishim Nishnayim, 652. Bnei Pachas Moav, Levnei Yoshua, B'Yoav, Alpai Mea Shmona Meos, Shmonim Shakel, 2818. Bnei Elam, Elef Masayim V'chamishim V'arba, 1,254. B'nei Zatu Shmona Meos Arboim V'chamisha, right, there's going to be 845. B'nei Zaka Zakoi, Shalom Yos V'shishim 760. B'nei Vinoi, Shishim Arboim V'shmona, 648. B'nei Vevoi, Shemos... Wait, I'm sorry. B'nei... Did I skip a line? B'nei Vinoi, Shesh Mel Zarbim Shemona, 648. B'nei Vevoi, Shesh Mel Zarbim Shemona, 628. B'nei Azgod, Alpayim Shosh Mel Zarbim Shemona, 2,322. B'nei Odinokim, Adonikom, sorry, Shesh Mel Zarbim Shiva, 667. B'nei Vigvoi, Alpayim Shesh Mel Shiva, 2,667. Right. Bnei Adin, 655. Bnei Altir, Lechizkiah, Tishim Mishmona, there was 98. Bnei Choshum, Shosh Mel Zeshim Mishmona, 328. Bnei Veitzoy, Shosh Mel Zeshim Rabo, 324. Bnei Chori Meo, Shnayim Osor, 112. Oh my gosh, this is going to be a long one. It goes all the way through. All right, I'm going to try to go a little. You know what? I'm just going to read it in English because there's no point over here. People of Gibeon 95, the people of Beisachim Netofa 188, the people of Anasleis 128, the people of Beisat Smaves is 42, the people of Kiryas Arim, Kfira, and Be'eros 743, the people of Ramon Giva 621, the people of Mechlas 122, the people of Beis Elanai 123, the people of Voacher 52, the people of the other Elam 1254, people of Harim 320, the people of Yericho, 345, Yericho, I guess that's another Yericho over there, the people of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721, people of Sana'a, 3,930, the Quan of the children of Yediah, the house of Yeshua, 973, the people of Imer, 1,052, right, the children of Pashkor, 1,247, children of Harim, 1,017, the Levium, the children of Yeshua and Carmel, the children of Hodeva, right, is that Hodeva, what's the name in Hebrew, where is it? Hodeva, yeah, it is. 74, the singers, the children of Asaph, 148, the gatekeepers, the children of Shalom, the children of Ater, children of Talon, the children of Akov, the children of Chatita, the children of Shovoi, 138, the Nesinu, the children of Tzicha, the children of Chashufa, the children of Tabos, the children of Keros, the children of Sia, the children of Padron, children of Levana, the children of Chagava, the children of Salmai, children of Hanan, the children of Gidel, the children of Gachar, the children of Re'aya, the children of Ritzin, the children of Nekoda, the children of Gazam, the children of Uzan, the children of Perseach, right, the children of Beisai, the children of Munim, the children of children of Fisesim, the children of Bakbuk, children of Chakufa, children of Charchor, the children of Basel, the children of Machida, children of Charshel, the children of Barkas, the children of Sisra, the children of Tamach, children of Tzeach, the children of Chapita, the children of the slaves of Shlomo, right, the children of Sotai, the children of Sopheris, the children of Perida, children of Yal, the children of Darkness, the children of Gedeel, the children of Shephatia, the children of Pocheris HaTzevayim, right, the children of Ammon, all the Nesim and the children of the slaves of Shlomo, 392. These are the immigrants from Tel Melach, Tel Harsha, Keruv, Adon, and Emer, but they cannot tell their fathers and their seed if they were from Yisrael. Children of Deliah, the children of Tovaya, right, the children of Kodesh, 642. Of the Quanim, the children of Chavaya, the children of Harkos, children of Barzillai, who took other daughters of Barzillai, Giladi, his wife. He was called by their name. In other words, he was called. Oh, that's interesting. He took on the last name of his father-in-law instead of his own. These sought their writing. So Eila Bikshu Ksavam Yisyachzun is Samach Dalad. They look for a Ksav Yichus Olanimsa. They couldn't find it. Go Alam Yinakuna, and they no longer could be Kohanim. V'yomer Tershasa Lam Atershasa Necham Yisad Zalam Asher Lo Yichum Mekodesh Kadashim Ad Amor Hakohen L'Urim V'Tumim. No one eats Kodesh Kadashim right now until a Kohen gets up with the Urim V'Tumim. Since the Urim V'Tumim did not get up during the entire time of the second base of Mikdash, it sounds and indicates that they didn't eat any Kodesh Kadashim whatsoever. But that's really, really weird because certainly they did eat Kodesh Kadashim. Must be up until they have a Kohen Gadol, even though he didn't have the actual Urim Bitumim. Okay, so that's that. Kolakol Ke'echad Arba Rebal Paim Shlosh Melech Shishim. Altogether, the people were 42,360. Milvad Abdeim Vamosem, aside from their servants and their maidservants, Elishiv is Alof and Shlosh Melech Shishim Shiva. Right, those are all together going to be 7,337. There were 245. Right, other people, the singers and the, you know, whatever, guards and stuff like that. Okay, skip the pasuk over here, Susam. Gimalim Abram Yosol Shem Chamisha. There were 435 camels. Kamorim Shizal of Shami Yosef, 6,720. O Miktas Rashi Avos Ninu Lamacha, Ninu Lamacha. Right. Some of the Rashi Avos were given over to Malacha, Atir Shalsa, Nasan Utzer, Zov, Darkamonim, S. Elif Mizrakos. He gave for the storehouses 1,000 Darkamones. Elif Mizrakos, 1,000 spoons somehow? I don't know. Chamishim, Mizrakos Chamishim, 50 bowls. Kasnas Kwanim Shoshim Chamish Males, and 350 clothing for the Kohanim themselves. Merasha Avos, right, the heads of the families. Nasnu, they gave La'otzer Amalacha, La'zav Darkamonim, Shtei Rabos. They gave 2 Shtei Rabos, 20,000 Darkamonim gold. Kazumarim Alpayim Lasayim, right, and 2,200 of the mana. Vashar Nasnu, Sheriff's Amzav, they gave them gold. Darkamonim Shtei Rebo, they were going to be 20,000 Kazumarim Alpayim. Uksoin Kasnos, Kohanim Shishim Mashiva. There were 67 altogether. Yeshua Kohanim, Levim, Ashwarim, Mashorim, Minaom. Right, all those people except from the people, and Asinim Chol Ba'Reim, Vayiga, Chodesh Shvi, Bnei Yisrael Ba'Reim. They finished off in the seventh month, right, and Bnei Yisrael were in their cities. They did not come by up until then, they were not planning on coming by for Rosh Hashanah itself. Now, in the back of the Sefer, he does have every single difference here. The recorded in Ezra chapter 2, recorded in Ezra chapter 7. There are some major differences. For example, Veivoy, mentioned in the first, but it's not mentioned over here, right? Yora, not mentioned over there. Gibar is mentioned in the first, but not mentioned over there. Chorif was not mentioned in the first, but he's mentioned over here. And it goes on altogether. Altogether, there is a total count, 30,053 in Ezra chapter 2, 30,461 here, 42,360 is the total amount given, 40,360 is the total amount given, but you don't see the numbers, you don't know exactly where that was. All the numbers seem a little bit off, and I wrote over here the differences between the numbers. We don't have a great answer as to what was going on over here. Now, okay, fine. This line, right, Vayiga Chodesh HaShviyu Bnei Yisrael V'Areihem, right, this was referring to at Zerubbabel's Aliyah. When Zerubbabel made Aliyah that many years ago, remember this is 12 years after Ezra, and almost 30 years altogether since the people had started to come up in Darius II. It was 45 years from the time that Koresh allowed them to start building the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, the problem that happens over here is one of two different things. There's no question that Nechemiah calls everybody together to get like a meeting together on Rosh Hashanah itself. The real problem, though, is this like a tshuva movement? It seems like there were people who were completely ignorant of basic teachings, and they didn't understand what was going on or why it was going on that way. And it was really, really bad.
How do you figure?
We're going to see if what happens over here, what they're going to talk about. But it seems like everybody was very, very ignorant, and Nechemiah is going to make that tshuva movement. Now, we're going to talk about Ezra, finally, in the Sefer. We're going to talk about the Sefer Azara. The Sefer Azara is not the Sefer written by Ezra HaSofer. Sefer Azara meant the Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu that was in the Azara constantly. They had no idea where it was. Somebody found it, showed it to Ezra, and Ezra took that Sefer and used it to write all the Sefer Torah in the future to make sure that everything was the same exact Sefer Torah. That was like the carbon copy of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down from Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, and therefore because of that, it was extremely special. So there's Ezra and the Sefer Azara, but it's not the Sefer of Ezra. That's not what it's going to be over here. Who was it found by? It's possible it was found similar to what happened by Yoshia when Yoshia was king, and Chilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol at the time, found the Sefer Torah that was there at the time. It might be the exact same thing that happened over here. Now, we don't know where Ezra was up until now. The assumption is that he was in seclusion. He might be 120 years old by this time. He would have been in private. He would have just hung out by himself in the forest doing his spodidus and whatever. And now Nehemiah seems to call him back for a good reason over here. So let's see what happens over here. We have the end of chapter 7. We're now on Parak Ches. Vayasu kolam kishachad. Everybody gathered together el rechov to the street of Lifnei Shar HaMayim in front of the gate of the water itself. By Yomru Ezra Sofer, and they said to Ezra Sofer, Lahavi is Sefer Torah Moshe, Asher Tziva Hashem Yisrael. Bring the Sefer of the Torah of Moshe that Hashem has commanded Yisrael. And again, this is not just any Sefer. This is a real Sefer. The real Sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded Bnei Yisrael. Bring it over here. By Yavi Ezra, Kohen is a Torah Lufnei HaKal. Ezra brought that Torah in front of the Kal. Me'isha Ad Isha, for every man and woman to see, V'chom Evin Lishmo, and anybody who can understand to hear. B'yom Echad L'Chodesh Shvi, in one day, in the seventh month itself, possibly on Rosh Hashanah itself. If we're dealing with the first day of that month of Nisan, right, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. And just like Adam Rishon started anew on Rosh Hashanah, so too Bnei Yisrael started anew with this right over here. So Ezra Sofer is going to get it. Now, it's interesting. We learn a halacha from over here. You know what halacha we learn over here? Kohanim get called first to the Torah. Ezra Sofer was the Kohen, right? He was not the Kohen Gadol, as we said before. There were other people who took that position, and not Ezra Sofer himself. But this is the idea that Ezra Sofer was honored to read it first in public, because that's what you do for Kohanim. That's the idea behind it. You ended up giving him something, and that's that. Now, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayikrovo lifnei rechov, and he read it in front of the rechov, in front of the street, or lifnei sharamayim, that's in front of the gate of the water, mina or ad machza yom, from the first light until midday, negedon hashem and hashem, opposite the men and the women, v'amevinim, and the people that understood, right, very deeply, v'asin kolam el sefer Torah, and all the ears of the people were going toward the sefer Torah. V'yamud Ezra sofer al migdale, teshu asu ledover. Ezra sofer stood on the wooden platform that they had made for him. V'yamud Ezra matisya v'shem av anoy, and his right hand side was Matisya, Shema Anoya Uriah Chilkiah Maseya, and Mismola on his left hand side, Pidayu Mishol Malkia, Choshum Chashbadona, Zechariah, and Meshulam. We don't know exactly who these people are, and what they were doing over here. Our assumption is that these people were very, very great people who are going to be in charge, right? The 12 Talmidei Chachamim representing the 12 constellations and the 12 Shvatim, six on one side, six on the other, right? That's going to be the idea behind it over here. And even though you saw over here, it said Zechariah Meshulam, right? That's because Zechariah changed his name after Chag Zechariah Malachi, right? It could have been somebody else entirely. What else? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Right. This time when they read the Torah, everybody tried their absolute hardest to hear every single word of the Torah itself. Now, it's impossible by certain people, but the concept was there of what they wanted to do over there, how they wanted to put it together. It says, from light until midday, it's possible that they had started this before they could even bring the Tamid Shal Shachar. So they skipped the Tamid Shal Shachar on that day, and they skipped davening on that day. That's what ended up happening more than anything else. And then when Ezra opened the sefer in front of all the people, it could be that's the minhag of Hagbah. Why we show it to the people themselves, they could see the script as you hold it up on top. That's the idea behind it, right? So that's the concept of what it was. Okay, that by even Ezra, hold on, where is it? Vayamod Ezra Sofer al Migdal Eitz Yisturah Shor Asol Lidavar. That one Ezra Matiz. Oh, wait, we did that. I'm sorry. Vayitach Ezra Sefer Leinei Kol Ha'am. He opened it up in front of all the people. Gimel Kol Ha'am Haya. He was on top of all the people. Everybody could see him above. Right? Kafisko Amdu Kol Ha'am. And when he opened up his mouth, everybody was absolutely silent. Everything was absolutely silent. Vayivarech Ezra Hashem. First, he blessed God. And that's the idea of what we do. We have to make a Birchas HaTorah every time before we learn in the morning. Elohim, Hagadol, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, Bim O Yedeya. Right, with raised hands, Vayitov Yishtachavu, and they bowed down, they prostrated themselves, Lashem Apayim Arto, all the way down to the face themselves. Why they answered Amen, Amen could be really, really, really crazy. Maybe one, it was by the people that were close enough to hear Ezra's brachos, they answered Amen. When everybody else heard them answer Amen, they answered Amen as well, even though they couldn't hear Ezra directly. It could be that you're answering Amen after your bracha twice because he made it as if it sounded like it was a double bracha. It's possible it's like that. Some say that Ezra himself used the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is really not 72 letters. It's 216 letters, but 72 words of three letters each. But he set out that name of the Beis HaMikdash, and that obviously is going to be, it's going to be interesting because Ezra Sofer was in the Ezra's Nashon. The Ezra's Nashon was just a lower level of Kedusha than the regular Azara. But you're not allowed to say God's 72-letter name in that area, so it's strange that he was able to use it. It must have been a whole Rosh Shah of some sort. But that's why the people said Amen, Amen, because of what he was saying. Yeah, what do you got?
Ezra S. Hashem Ha'elokim. So, there's two names right there. So, Amen, Amen is an Amen for each
Hashem and Elokim. Sounds like you're believing that they're two separate things.
I'm just, you know, two names of God, two Amens. I'm just throwing it out there. It's right there.
Okay, maybe that very well could be. Yeah, very, very well could be over here. Where are we over here? They were outside the Azara itself. They were close enough to hearing the Amen, etc. Okay, Mo Yidem, he raised his hand, and obviously that's the way that Tefillah was back then, so it is a little bit strange over here. Now, you are not allowed to do Pishu Yadayim Raglayim outside of the Beis HaMikdash proper. Right, on a stone floor. You weren't allowed to do it. The fact that they did this, again, was probably Oras Shah because they were not in the Beis HaMikdash, or they were in the Ezra's Nashim, and the Ezra's Nashim counts, but usually it doesn't. It's usually only allowed to get down on your face, only on stone floors, in the Azara itself, not anywhere else. But it is a little bit strange over here. So it says, Vayeshua uvanai uvani sherevya yamin akuv shapsai hodia maaseya Klita Azaria, Yozavad, Chanan Palaya, Falavim and Venus, they all stood there and they understood the word, the people of the Torah, Ba'amal Amdam, and the people stood exactly where they were. The reason why is because they probably had no idea what they were learning. There were people going through the nation, little by little, saying, did you understand what just happened? Can I explain to you what just happened? Do you want some help with that? And they would go ahead and explain to them all the different things that we were going to do, right? That's the idea behind it. So that's the concept over here. These were the Meturgim, and these are the people that were circulating throughout the crowd, helping them out in everything they were supposed to do over here. That's the idea behind it. Now, that's the first thing. It says, Vayikru b'sefer Torah came, and they read in the book, in the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, right? That Levian, so to speak, repeated Ezra's words exactly as they were, and they were Torah Shlema, Mefurash, explicitly, Vishum Seichel, and they gave wisdom, right? Vavino b'mikra, and they understood the psukim, and therefore they went through the people telling them everything that they needed to know. We'll do one more pasuk. Nechemiah the Tirshasa said, Ezra HaKohen HaSofer, and Ezra HaKohen the Sofer, Velavim Avinos Amin Levim, that helped understand the people, the whole Am. Hayom Kadoshu LaHashem, today is the day of holiness to Hashem Elokechem. Altstavel Altifku, do not be mourning, do not cry. Because the people were crying when they were hearing the words of the Torah itself. Stop right there for right now, because we have quite a bit of what we need to write about, what do we need to talk about when it comes to this. Let's stop it there, guys. Pasuk Tes, we really want to start off with, okay? All right.